We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
All right, hour number two is underway. The Rob Brown Show is right here on ESPN Upstate. Rob Lonzo with you today. Be a part of the program. 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776. 844-GSP-ESPN is the number to get in on the program. Text us, 71307. Start your text with ESPN so we can read it on the air at 71307. Tweet us, Lonzo on Word, The Rob Brown Show, ESPN Upstate are the three Twitter handles to use. Let's jump back into, we were breaking down before the break there, Clemson's football schedule. So far, we've gotten through what Zoe and I both think will be an interesting game, obviously, against the University of Georgia. That one's going to be up in Charlotte, North Carolina. We'll talk about that one a little bit more at length, obviously, throughout the offseason. September 11th, at home against South Carolina State. 7 days later, at home against Georgia Tech. 7 days later, they're on the road at NC State before they come back home to Boston College. They're off on October 9th, and then on October 15th, it's a Friday nighter on the road at Syracuse, and that kicks off a four-game slate that I am somewhat intrigued in, Lonzo, and here's why. We have seen teams go up to Syracuse and get upset. We have seen teams go up to Syracuse and win, but come out of it really beaten up. We know that Dino Babers' team up there at Syracuse is occasionally capable of playing well ahead of expectations. The next week, they are on the road for the second time in a row coming off the bye at Pittsburgh, another team that is traditionally known for not being that good, but occasionally pulls the upset. I think they got 3 or 4 years ago, they got West Virginia when West Virginia had finally made their way back into the top 25 and was playing decent football. They went to Pitt and got beat. Then on October 30th, they come back home and they take on Florida State. Look, I'm not ready to sit here and tell you that FSU is about to bounce back. They're not. They got a long way to go. But FSU right now is working the transfer portal, I think, better than any other team in college football. They are picking up guys left and right that were former 4- and 5-star guys. We mentioned McKenzie Milton on the way back. Remember the former UCF quarterback who was having an incredible career until his knee exploded out from under him. He's gone through the surgery. He's gone through the rehab. He's been cleared to play. It's interesting to see what McKenzie Milton will do. If he is capable of getting back to even 85-90% of the way he was playing ball at UCF, he's got the potential to be a guy that could change that position for FSU. I'm not saying they're back. I'm saying keep an eye on them as potentially one of the more improved teams this year. And then November 6th, they're on the road at Louisville. And again, this would not be a daunting stretch for the majority of teams in college ball. But you are going to get the A-plus game of every team that you line up against at Syracuse, at Pitt, back home for FSU, and then immediately back out on the road for Louisville. I'm not saying that's a murderer's row for Clemson, Lonzo. I am saying it's probably the only extended stretch of games on Clemson's schedule that I'm looking at and going, if there is an upset brewing, it's somewhere in those four games.
All these teams know that Clemson is the king of the ACC, and they're building through recruiting and transfer portal towards toppling the king. And some of these teams are getting closer. Probably not close enough to knock them off this year, but we've seen Clemson be upset before. There's a couple-year stretch where they would lose a game where they shouldn't have. And the last couple years, they've been able to pull those games out, some miraculously. But one of the teams in the stretch could possibly push them. You never know.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's how I'm looking at it as well. November 6th, Louisville. November 13th, back home for a two-game stretch. UConn and Wake Forest in back-to-back weeks. And then November 27th, it is back on the schedule. We missed it tremendously this year. But South Carolina will be hosting Clemson. This one's going to be back at Williams-Brice. This one is a little different from most years. And I will be accused, Lonzo, of being an optimist here. I will be accused of being an optimist because I, you know, and trying to make hype out of something that doesn't deserve hype. But we have seen teams with first-year head coaches that play well above where they are expected to be at because those coaches are trying to put their name on the map. They're trying to put themselves back into the discussion. And there may not be a team out there that leads that category more than the South Carolina Gamecocks. Shane Beamer coming in first year. Obviously, the recruiting class is going to be a bit of a struggle when you got a new head coach in. That's true of basically every team in all of college football. But Shane Beamer's squad is going to be looking to make a name for himself. By that point, hopefully for them, they'll have the quarterback issues straightened out. But the fact that they get to host this game at home, and fingers crossed, Lonzo, I saw what Williams-Brice can look like. Even last year, every home game for South Carolina, the folks on TV were saying, you know, for a crowd of 7,500, it sounds like there's 45,000 in here. If that place is full, with the excitement of a brand new coach, a brand new staff, a good group of kids who have proven their loyalty to the team by staying on board when they could have bailed under a new head coach, those are the games that weird things can happen to good teams. Keep an eye on that November 27th Thanksgiving weekend date for South Carolina at home as well.
Well, I'm not going to act like I'm not excited for this game because I am, because there are some factors in there. Like you said, crowd. If it's a full crowd, that's going to factor in. The other factor is I believe, and I could be wrong, I don't think I am, Uiagalelei hasn't played there yet. So, I mean, you put a freshman quarterback, or well, he'll be a sophomore, but still, you put him in there under those circumstances with the hated rival. If there's a full crowd, there's going to be a bit of nerves, even though he will have an entire season under his belt. This could be a lot closer game than what it has been in the past. And there's the fact that we have no idea what we're getting with Shane Beamer.
Correct. Exactly right. Exactly right. You don't know. And that's what may now, well, obviously by that point, we'll have a full season of South Carolina football and we'll have a full season of tape down. Then there's plenty of questions about the Gamecocks questions. I mean, that was the first thing we talked about earlier in the week when the full South Carolina schedule dropped and we took a look at the SEC schedule as it's laid out. The very first question that I asked, or that I was asked was, "That's all great, Rob, that you're optimistic for the Gamecocks." And I am. I am. Who's going to be the quarterback? I mean, look, there are a ton of questions about the Gamecocks, but they'll have a season under the belt, and that excitement, if the Gamecocks, and here's a huge caveat to this discussion, Lonzo. If the Gamecocks at that point are looking at a season that's 500 or above, if they're looking, especially if they're finding a way to maybe look at, and I have seen some prognosticators say that they are looking at the potential, and it's a, look, it's a fingers crossed, silver lining, four-leaf clover, optimistic view. But there are a lot of people that are saying that South Carolina could be looking down if they reach top potential as much as 8 wins if they're able to knock off the Clemson Tigers at the end of the year. If that team is playing for a 7 or 8 win record, at home, in front of a rockin' Williams-Brice with a new head coach, that South Carolina-Clemson game could be much, much more interesting than it looks on paper because of all the variables, not just the roster schedule or position-to-position talent breakdown.
And one thing about this is everybody's going to be watching because no one knows. And there's so much intrigue about what's going on and you know, with the new coach, and we don't know who the quarterback is. We don't know really what the system's going to be. All those kind of things. A little bit, you get a little bit of an excitement with some wins. Maybe some doubt creeps in up the road.
Keep in mind, on top of that, Zoe, the expectation for most of us is that Clemson will be right back playing for a playoff spot. Now, if they've got that L, if, and it's a big if, again, remember, we're speaking in hypotheticals, not predictions and prognostications here, but hypothetically speaking, if Georgia, under Kirby Smart, finds a way to knock off Dabo and the Clemson Tigers in game number one, September 4th in Charlotte, and Clemson is playing for their playoff lives, because, again, it's going to be another year. I don't think that you are going to get two L's into the playoffs this year. I don't think it's going to happen. If Clemson is playing for their playoff life at that point right there, tell me what would be a better outcome for the South Carolina Gamecocks, a final bow on their head coach's first season, than to knock Clemson out of the playoffs in his first rivalry game against them. I know that that is a hard, it can be a hard concept to grasp, right? When you are on the top of the mountain looking down, you would go, why would you put added emphasis on one game over the rest? But if you know that you are not the king of the hill, you know that you are not going to be there, then the next best thing is to throw a wrench into the gears of a team that is supposed to or is trying to get there. That will be the Super Bowl of the year for the South Carolina Gamecocks. And to ruin Clemson's season by handing them an L in their final game at home in front of your crowds in your first year for Shane Beamer, that would be the feather in the cap. No matter what else he does, that would be the feather of the cap in year number one. It's I know we're way away from the game. There's a million things that can happen between now and then. But I got to tell you, if I'm Clemson, don't sleep on that game. I know it's a rivalry game. I know you would not do this. But don't approach that game as if it's just any other year in the rivalry, because it's not. There's a lot of variables that make this game a lot heftier than a traditional Clemson-South Carolina game.
Now, you know, Clemson fan rolling down the road right now, he is smirking. Going, go ahead, radio guy, paint your picture. You don't really believe it. I think that we do believe that it's a possibility. And we saw some chinks in the armor near the end of the season of Clemson, especially their defense, what you thought you'd never see. Saw some holes in there that we haven't seen in years past. So this could be that year. Absolutely could be that year. But you're right. Starting off with Georgia, if they should fall to Georgia, that makes every game that much more important. And, yeah, if South Carolina can knock them off at the end of the year and keep them out of the playoffs, that would be exciting.
100%. Absolutely 100%. All right, 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776. Text us at 71307. Start your text with ESPN. 71307 is the number. Tweet us at The Rob Brown Show, at Lonzo One Word, at ESPN Upstate. Clemson fans, you've got your schedule. You are on the road for a neutral site game in Charlotte against Georgia. Back home for South Carolina State and Georgia Tech, on the road at NC State. Back home for Boston College before the open date. Coming off the open date at Syracuse, at Pitt. Back home October 30th for FSU. On the road at Louisville the week after that. Two home games to end the season with UConn and Wake Forest before you go on the road back to Williams-Brice to take on the Gamecocks in the Palmetto Bowl. Are there any spots that you are concerned about, or do you firmly believe that you're just going to run roughshod again? That's my question for you. Any spots on the radar that you have a concern about, Clemson fans? 844-GSP. ESPN. Let's take a quick break. When we come back here in just a moment, big developments in the Deshaun Watch 2021. Bum, bum, bum. We'll break that down for you next on The Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
The Rob Brown Show rolls on. This is ESPN Upstate. Rob and Lonzo with you. So we have asked you about Clemson's schedule. You gave a full rundown. Clemson fans, do you have any concerns? Are there any spots on that schedule that you are more worried about than others? That's the question we have asked you. You're welcome to answer 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776. Text us at 71307. Start your text at ESPN. So we're keeping an eye. Should we go with Deshaun Watch 2021? I feel like now that I think about it, the correct title should be Watson Watch 2021, right?
I don't know. I think Deshaun Watch rings better than Watson Watch. Watson Watch is harder to say.
Right up there with Twitter trending topics, right?
Not quite as difficult as that, but close.
So we'll go to, all right, we'll keep it there. We'll keep it there on the advice of the great Lonzo. It is Deshaun Watch 2021. Bum, bum, bum. So where's Deshaun going to end up? Where does Deshaun play his football next year? Look, it's not going to be Houston, all right? I'll call that shot now. Houston's going to want to play hardball. Houston's going to try to play hardball. Houston's going to try to force Deshaun into sticking around because he's got the big contract and he's got $160 million coming his way if he plays, et cetera, et cetera. They're going to do everything they can do to try to get him to stick around. But at the end of the day, if a player wants out, he wants out, right? This is reminiscent of a situation we just watched play out not but a couple of weeks ago with the Houston Rockets and James Harden. Harden's in the midst of a huge contract. He wants out of Houston. He's clearly unhappy. The team says, well, we're committed to mending that relationship. We are committed to making James Harden happy here, et cetera, et cetera. And then they traded him because he held the cards. Now, Houston was able to try to force the best deal they could get for James Harden, but he wanted out. He knew where he wanted to go. And the Rockets basically ran out of power, even with the big contract in place for James Harden. This is a very similar situation as far as I'm concerned. So, with that being said, how many teams are interested in Deshaun Watson? How many teams are looking at Deshaun as really ending up on their team being a possibility? Where Ian Rapoport and a couple of other experts started talking about it yesterday. How many teams are interested? Here's what Ian Rapoport had to say about it.
There'd be 27, 28 teams in the league that would line up and be willing to part with whatever it takes to get a talent and person like Deshaun Watson. I think short of Kansas City, Buffalo, Baltimore, and a few others that have themselves a franchise quarterback, any other team would be crazy not to explore what it would take for Deshaun Watson. And when you're talking about trading for a player like this and a person like this, you do whatever it takes. If it takes 2, 3, 4, 5 first-round picks, you make it happen. Any team can do whatever it wants. So you're asking for the short list. I would tell you it's not a short list. It's a long list. And I also would tell you that even though Deshaun Watson has the no-trade clause in his contract, in which he could veto a trade to any team he wants, I think he's going to be open to most any team as long as that team is not the Houston Texans.
I'm 90% sure after listening to that, Lonzo. Like, I'm 95% sure. Our prep site credited that soundbite to Ian Rapoport I'm pretty sure that's Adam Schefter.
I'm pretty sure it is, too. Now, your second soundbite that you played earlier, that's Rappaport. But
yeah.
This, I'm almost positive that's Schefter.
Yeah, that bite was credited by our prep site, not to put the blame elsewhere. But after playing it, I'm playing it a couple of times and listening to it, I'm relatively sure that's Adam Schefter. Anyway, point is, and even if it's Schefter, I mean, if it's Schefter, it gives me even more credence than if it would have been Rappaport. Not that Rappaport is not up there, but I mean, Schefter is Schefter for a reason. So Schefter says there are up to 27 or 28 teams that have expressed interest. I don't think the number is that high. Obviously, you take the Texans out of the mix, that's down to 31. Obviously, I don't think that the Seattle Seahawks are going to be in it. The Kansas City Chiefs are going to be in it. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to be in it. I don't think that the Baltimore Ravens are going to be in it. I don't think the Buffalo Bills are going to be in it. There are a couple of teams that are cap heavy. I don't think the New Orleans Saints have the money to be in it. There's, what, six teams off the get as well. That brings us down to 25. But I could easily see, Lonzo, 24 teams that I could see being in the mix for Deshaun Watson 2021. Bum, bum, bum! That could end up trading for Deshaun Watson. Now, before we get to the next part of this conversation, we have another clip that expresses the three teams that are the most interested in ending up with Deshaun Watson, or at least the three that are being the most aggressive in their pursuit of Deshaun. Here's who those teams are expected to be.
From what I understand, more than half the teams have called the Texans on Deshaun Watson. If you're wondering who could be interested, I would say almost everyone, but a couple key ones to keep an eye on. The New York Jets, of course, assuming if they do end up moving on from Sam Darnold. The Carolina Panthers, who still need a quarterback of the future. I'm told they are expected to be aggressive. The Chicago Bears still have a quarterback issue. So do the Colts. Hard to imagine him going in the division, though. But essentially, anyone who needs a quarterback is going to be calling.
I'm pretty sure that was Ian Rappaport and the other one was Schefter. But point remains. So he says the Jets, the Bears, the Colts, and your Carolina Panthers are going to be the four teams that are the most aggressive in their pursuit of Deshaun Watson. Of those four, I do not think that, or let me phrase that, if the Colts are truly in play, if the Colts are really committed, I think the Colts, Lonzo, are going to probably have to end up giving up way more than the other three teams because they're in the same division, right? The Texans not only don't want to have to face Deshaun Watson twice a year every year, they don't want to have to face an angry Deshaun Watson that's holding a grudge against them twice a year, every year, which is what they would have to do. So I don't think the Colts are in the mix unless the Colts are going to give up like a Mike Ditka to Ricky Williams style draft where they give up like 5 years total worth of draft picks in order to bring them up there. Now, I don't know if I'm making that move if I'm Indianapolis, because there are still other glaring weaknesses they need to address in order to take the next step. I don't think Phillip Rivers was the reason that the Colts were unable to get out of the first round of the playoffs. But that being said, I am intrigued by that possibility. The teams that I think are most aggressive in the mix there are going to end up being Carolina, New York, and the Chicago Bears. Miami's interesting because we found out earlier in the day, and again, you're not taking this with a grain of salt, you are taking this with a full salt shaker, but Tua Tagovailoa's agent has been telling writers down in Miami that the Dolphins are not interested in moving aggressively on Deshaun Watson. I mean, if they can get him for a deal, they'll take him. But they're not. They are telling Tua that he is still the QB of the future. Now, so that's Tua Tagovailoa's agent. If there's one guy who's invested in making sure that he looks as good as possible, it's the guy who gets a chunk of the percent of Tua's salary moving forward. But this is coming out from a couple of different folks down in Miami that the Dolphins are not interested in competing with the type of package that the Bears and the Panthers and the Jets would put on the table. My thought would be, I haven't heard anything about Deshaun having an interest in the Chicago Bears. And keep in mind, until he waives it, that no trade clause still gives Deshaun a lot of power about where he ends up. I would think it comes down to the Jets and the Panthers as the two teams with the most realistic possibility of landing him. To me, the only advantage that the Jets have is that there's a little bit more faith in Sam Darnold to be a guy that can QB that team to success, the Houston Texans, over Teddy Bridgewater. But I think, though, the Carolina Panthers could put more on the table. I think they could put more on the table, and Teddy Bridgewater is serviceable enough, and they have the added benefit of, hey, Deshaun, come home to the Carolinas where you played your college ball. I'd like to think the Carolina Panthers are a little bit more competitive of a team that would interest both Deshaun and the Houston Texans to make a deal, but the Jets do have a lot to offer and a better quarterback to trade away to Houston, so this thing is far from over, but the experts say those are two of the most aggressive teams in terms of going after Deshaun.
It's funny you're saying that, and at Senior Bowl practice, they were just showing Matt Rhule right exactly when you were talking about that. My thing is, you know, the fact that the GM is saying they're not going to trade him, and I know he has the no-trade clause. What if they only offer to trade him to places that they don't want to send him? Then what, or that Deshaun won't want to go to? What does he do then?
Well, again, at the end of the day, that still comes down to the Texans playing hardball with Deshaun Watson, right? We're not going to necessarily trade you to where you want to go. We're going to trade you to whoever we want to trade you to. With Deshaun still holding on to that no-trade clause, that's the Texans playing hardball. My question would be, if you're the Houston Texans, are you willing to go into the year with a question mark at quarterback with Deshaun Watson sitting at home on his couch, even if he's not getting paid? Are you willing to go into the season knowing it's a tank job? Oh, and by the way, there's the added variable here, though, that we haven't actually brought up yet. And I thought about this yesterday when we got off the show. The added variable here is that if Deshaun leaves, the most valuable player on that team is J.J. Watt. J.J. Watt is clearly very, very frustrated with the Houston Texans. If the Texans play hardball with Deshaun and tell Deshaun, waive the no-trade clause or we will not trade you anywhere, even if you decide to sit home and do nothing, then the Texans will suck next year because they'll be playing with a guy who's at best a backup quarterback unless they decide to draft one and make him the immediate starter, which, again, you still got Deshaun's money on the contract clause there, even if you're not giving it to him because he's not, you know, holding up his end of that contract. You either got to draft the quarterback, which means you're not getting better anywhere else, or you got to go with a backup or second thing or journeyman quarterback, which means your team's going to suck, which means J.J. Watt's going to get frustrated. And I believe J.J.'s got one or two more years, but J.J. certainly has the power to demand his way out of Houston as well, which means if you play hardball with Deshaun Watson, though, you got to worry about J.J. Watt getting ticked off and deciding he wants out as well, and now you really are back to ground zero.
That is true. Speaking of hardball, Phil Yates just tweeted, new Texans head coach David Culley on Deshaun Watson. He is a Houston Texan. I want him to be a Houston Texan. The reason I'm in this position today is because I know he's going to be a Houston Texan.
Cool. I mean, yeah, I would do that too, right? I can go down to the court today to play some pickup basketball and say, I believe in my heart that James Harden is my pickup basketball 2-on-2 partner. He's not. He doesn't have any interest in doing that.
You would never get a shot. You would never, absolutely never get a shot.
No, I wouldn't.
You get
I
to
wouldn't.
Take the ball out of bounds. That'd be it.
James Harden would suck at pickup basketball because call your own fouls would get old very quickly for him. But he didn't believe all your, and that's great. That's great. And if I was him, I'd be saying and doing the exact same thing. I would be on my hands and knees in Deshaun's front yard, begging him. I'd be standing in his front yard with a boombox over my head as I wore a denim jacket, trying to convince him, baby, come back. You can blame it all on me. But it doesn't matter. Deshaun clearly has zero interest in being a Houston Texan.
You mixed so many things in there.
I know, I really did. Huh? That was multi-pop references all in one take. You're welcome. It doesn't matter. Like, it's great. And if I was Cully, I'd be saying the exact same things. Doesn't matter. I can go tell Britney Spears that in her heart she knows she wants to be my boyfriend or my girlfriend. Doesn't matter. She's not calling me, right? So, again, if you're the Texans, I think you've got to be thinking a little bit bigger than just Deshaun. Deshaun is the most valuable piece of the puzzle. But I think you got to be thinking bigger. If you are not competitive next year, and I'm talking Sam Darnold, Ted Bridgewater, carrying an average offense and letting your defense go to work, if you're not at least showing that you're going to be competitive next year, you're going to lose J.J. Watt too. And Watt's probably only got 3-4 years left in him. But I'll take those 3-4 good years of J.J. Watt if he shows up by not ticking him off by mishandling this situation as well. 844-GSP-ESPN, 844-477-3776. Text us at 71307. 71307. Start your text with ESPN. Keeping an eye on Deshaun Watch 2021 for you as we rove on. By the way, Texans general manager Nick Cesario has said, according to Adam Schefter, quote, "Before we take a few questions, organizationally, we want to reiterate our commitment to Deshaun Watson. We have zero interest in trading the player." Yeah, I mean, again, it sounds like they're going to play hardball, but the Houston Rockets said the same thing about James Harden, and Harden was a net less than 2 weeks later. It is what it is. Quick break. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show. Rob Lonzo and you are listening to ESPN Upstate. A44 GSP ESPN, 844-477-3776 is the number to be a part of the program. Get a little NBA talk in here real quick. Zion Williamson, I know from having gone out to watch a few Pelicans games here, and I'm really happy about this. Pelicans are my team anyway, but the support of Zion Williamson around here, I think, is absolutely fantastic. I love that you guys support a guy who played his ball in your backyard right here in the area before heading up to Duke is still getting that support in the NBA. But obviously Zion down there in New Orleans, it's no other way to say it. It's been a disappointing season for the Pelicans, a team that was a game out of the playoffs last year down in the bubble, a team that brought in a very young roster this year. Stan Van Gundy is a guy that was expected to come in. And look, the defense for New Orleans has gotten better this year, but they're certainly not playing at the level that most of us as Pelicans fans and as Zion fans had hoped that they would play at. It is a team that has just been struggling. It's just been struggling. Well, there's good news coming out of New Orleans, as it appears that Zion Williamson might be getting some help sooner rather than later. I've been saying for a minute as a Pelicans fan that the biggest issue the Pelicans have right now is that they do not have any wing players. There's no real sniper threats on the outside. J.J. Redick has fallen off as a perimeter shooter and player. He's been pretty much limited to going in and being a defensive stalwart and a guy you throw in at the end because he's a free throw expert. But other than that, his shooting has fallen off. Guys like Alexander Walker have stepped up in spots, but they're not exactly laying it on the line as an outside expert. There is good news. It looks like the Pelicans are in the market to add some depth to the wing position, which I am going to keep an eye on for you. And it looks like Lonzo Ball might be the trade bait. According to The Athletic, Shams Charania, the Pelicans are reportedly taking and receiving calls about Lonzo Ball and veteran J.J. Redick. And according to Charania, it looks like the Pelicans have shown an openness to discussing trades centered around both Lonzo Ball and J.J. Redick. He said, quote, "With a little less than 2 months remaining until the March 25th trade deadline, it looks increasingly like the Pelicans will be sellers. They are in second to last place in the Western Conference, and Ball and Redick are both in the final years of their contracts. Now, who do they end up bringing in? That's what's going to be interesting to find out, because there are reportedly a number of teams that are interested in Lonzo Ball and in J.J. Redick for two reasons. Number one, they believe that those two guys can be a short-term patch on some championship-caliber teams. The Golden State Warriors have expressed interest amongst a handful of other teams, and the guys that are being mentioned as potential replacements for Ball and Redick are all wing players. They're all shooters, and that's exactly what I think New Orleans is looking for. I think that's exactly the type of player that you need to build around Zion. When you've got a bunch of guys like Lonzo Ball that want to be slashers, and by the way, Lonzo Ball is not shooting the ball exceptionally well this year. Same with J.J. Redick. When you got slashers out there on the floor, it kind of closes up the floor around Zion for him to work. You kind of limit him to one side of the basket or the other. Whereas if you go out there, you pair him with a five and a wing player that is a legitimate three-point shooting threat, you open the floor back up a little bit. I want, when you kick the ball over to the wing, I want to have a big man, whether it's Steven Adams, whether it's Jackson Hayes, whoever, coming across, ending up on the block. I want to be able to move Zion up to the free throw line extended and give him some room to operate. Get him the ball, clear out the big man, create some one-on-one situations where if the wing defender collapses down to help on Zion, boom, kick out to the three-point line. You got an open shot from a wing player. If that wing player stays true to the shooting threat outside, you clear out the big man and you create some one-on-one opportunities for Zion Williamson. And he has showed that if you give him one-on-one situations, he's going to score. 34 earlier in the week against Washington. Put up 32 last week against, I think, Minnesota, another team that struggles to have the inside defense that can contain him. There's only a couple of guys on the middle that are going to, in the league that are going to be able to go tit for tat alongside Zion down inside if you have a legitimate wing player on the outside. So if you've been following the career and progression of Zion Williamson, that is great, great news for the New Orleans Pelicans that A, they are buyers, sellers in the trade market, and B, there are multiple teams interested. We mentioned A, that those two guys come in and give a slashing threat. I mean, you look at a team like Golden State, they got a lot of wing shooters. They don't need extra. They've got one or two top-tier wing shooters they could be able to part ways with in order to bring in a slashing power forward like a J.J. Redick or Lonzo Ball, and on top of that, a guy that only has a year on the salary. A guy that's only going to be on the books for a year, which means that allows you to clear some salary cap space heading into next season when you want to go back and find somebody who's maybe a little bit more permanent than a J.J. Redick or a Lonzo Ball. That's great news. Great news for the New Orleans Pelicans. And to me, it's great news for Zion Williamson. He needs that wing shooter to advance. He's been playing relatively good basketball. Relatively good basketball. I think he's got plenty of career progression left in front of him, but you got to get him a pure wing guy, a guy that can extend the floor laterally to open up some room for Zion to operate inside. You do that, you're going to get more results out of Zion Williamson, and that team is going to get better for it. Plus, again, the defense has gotten better, so to add another sniper on the outside, I think would be enormous, enormous for the progression of the career of Zion Williamson. 844-GSP-ESPN is the number, 844-GSP-ESPN. 71307 is the text line. Shoot us a text. If you've been watching Zion, you've been watching him grow and develop, I'd love to hear from you. Quick text, is there a team that can offer enough for Lonzo? I mean, maybe the Lakers can go straight up LeBron and AD for Lonzo. Lonzo could beat Jordan one-on-one in his prime. Gotta respect his game. Zoe, I didn't know that LeVar Ball was listening to our show. That's good news that Lonzo's dad is texting the program.
Hey, we're worldwide. Hello, yeah, LeVar. Man. What's up?
International, baby. International. All right, quick break. When we come back here in just a moment from right now, interesting Super Bowl topic. There's a group of quarterbacks that is very interesting that all have one thing in common with each other. I'll tell you what it is, and we'll see how many of them Lonzo can name off the top of his head of this very weird list. That's next on the Rob Brown Show. This is ESPN Upstate. All right, let's play a little Ron Brown Show Home Edition. You can try to answer this question alongside Lonzo of his entire illustrious playoff career, Lonzo. There have been a grand total of 7 quarterbacks that have ever defeated Tom Brady in a playoff game. I was able to name 5 of them. I want to see how you do. Can you tell me off the top of your head how many of those 7 are you able to recall quarterbacks that defeated Tom Brady in the playoffs?
See, now you're requiring me to think more on Tom Brady, which I do not want to do. You mentioned Eli Manning earlier, so that's one.
You don't have to think too far away from Eli to get to another one.
Thank you for the hint.
Yep.
Peyton Manning.
Pay got a couple over Tommy.
Brett Favre.
Incorrect. Brett Favre never beat Tom Brady in the playoffs.
Okay. I'm just trying to think through the 10 times that he's been there. Well, we can just go with 9 of the times.
All right, here you go. Here's the full list. Full list of quarterbacks. We got Peyton and Eli both. Those are 2. Joe Flacco.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan Tannehill. Nick Foles. Mark freaking Sanchez. And, of course, maybe the most notable name on the list, and I'm stunned that you didn't get this one, Lonzo, Jake Plummer.
Well, so we were talking playoffs, period, not Super Bowls.
Oh, we're going playoffs as an entirety.
Okay,
yes.
So I was just thinking Super Bowls.
Nope.
It still wouldn't have helped.
So Sanchez got beat in the 2010 season when the Jets upset the Patriots 28-21 in that game. Remember, the Patriots had beat the Jets 45-3 less than a month before that. Sanchez was at the end of his second career season. Of course, we got Foles in the Super Bowl. Tannehill in that AFC game last year. Jake Plummer did it back at the end of the 05 season, but his defense carried him in that one. Joe Flacco was able to do it way back in the 2012 AFC Championship game. Of course, Eli ended the undefeated bid, and Pepe got him 3 times, including the 06 AFC Championship game, one of the most underrated games in NFL history, a huge comeback for the Colts that year. He also did it with the Broncos once as well. Pretty illustrious group. Can it get to 8 with Patrick Mahomes this year? We'll find out. Plenty coming up in the third hour. Stick around for that. The Rob Brown Show rolls on next. It's you and Lonzo and me, Rob Brown, on ESPN Upstate.